The title of my message today is Without Compromise. You know, we're entering into this crazy time in the year when we're heading towards these holidays, these mainstream holidays, and schools are heading towards their breaks. And so I had an experience at school this week, and I wanted to start off by telling you guys about it. It was the first time this has happened to me since I started teaching. But before, just a little context, a thing that I didn't realize prior to going into teaching is that when you imagine being a teacher, you imagine, you know, being in a classroom and teaching the subject. But what I didn't realize that came with teaching is all of the logistical things around it. You know, I'm expected to leave comments for all of my students at the end of every quarter. I'm supposed to reach out to parents of students who are failing. And I have to go to all these professional development meetings where the school tries to help teachers grow, as they would say, right? And so I go to all these meetings, but most of all, I didn't realize, I had no idea how much time I would spend with students who all have are part of a special education plan. It's something I did not expect, but I have a large number of students who all have these specific accommodations and modifications, all of which I am, as a teacher, am expected to cater towards, whether it's extra time, cueing or prompting behaviors, allowing them to go on these walks around the school because they need some time to decompress. So on top of just doing the job of teaching, you have all of these things that you kind of are expected to keep tabs on. And what comes along with these special education plans is something called a personal planning team. We call it a PPT. And so what you do is you come together with a school counselor, a guidance counselor, you come together with a group of all these people, and they come together and they take you out of your class, and you have to then come up with subplans and leave your class and go to this meeting. And in these meetings, you're expected to kind of, my job at least, is to give an update on how the students have been doing in my class and give like an update on their progress. And so this week, for the first time, I've been feeling kind of blessed. For the first time this week, I was expected to go to a PPT for a student who was a transgender student. And I'm not going to lie, I was kind of nervous about it. You know, I've been feeling so stressed because I hadn't had to face this scenario since I've started teaching, despite the fact that transgenderism is so common today. You know, it's a common thing in schools, but I've been feeling so grateful that I hadn't had to deal with that, you know, but this week I had to get asked to go to this PPT for a student who was transgender. You know, and before I went into teaching, I knew I would potentially have to face this, so I came up with a strategy. I said, okay, I will call them by the name that they want to be called, but I would not call them by a pronoun that's different to their natural born pronoun. Which kind of just intuitively made sense to me, right? The parents, as a parent, you choose their name, but God decides the gender of the baby. So it's kind of impossible to change that. But, you know, despite the fact of thinking of all this and coming up with this strategy and setting up this plan of using the name instead of the pronouns, going into this meeting, I'm still nervous, you know? Because in this scenario, I'm coming in front of a parent where I have to give this live report to a parent about the student's progress in my class without using a pronoun. And if you haven't tried it, I would recommend try it. Try to think of a comment about someone's student. Like, I was going to say, I was prepping, I had to go to a preparation for this, and I was going to say, so-and-so does a good job of participating in class. She always raises her hand. But I'm like, wait, I can't say that. So do I say the name again? How do I go about this? And so I'm going to this meeting like, what am I going to do, you know? So we get to this meeting. The parent gets on the line. The parent is calling the student by a different pronoun, but everyone in the room is not sure exactly what pronoun this student wants to go by. And so there's this, like, confusion. Do we call the student a he, a she, a they? And there was this confusion going on. And so we made it through the call. I gave my report. I was so nervous that I never do this. I wrote out what I was going to read to say because it was a lot easier to read something than potentially to make a mistake. But the meeting ends, and the guy who was facilitating the meeting says, we have to figure this whole pronoun thing out. I'm like, I'm done. I did my part. But I said, so I told them my strategy. I said, honestly, I'm not going to say their pronoun. I'm just going to say their name. And the students never told me what they want to be called. And what they said was interesting. They said, well, I don't mind saying whatever pronouns this student wants me to use. I'll use whatever pronoun they want me to use. I just don't want to offend anyone. And when they had said that, the feeling of being, you know, on the same page, all kind of uncomfortable and weirdly kind of just went out the window. Because yes, we were kind of all uncomfortable with the situation, but to say it plainly, and this might sound a little bit abrupt, but these teachers were willing to remain uncomfortable, to lie to this student about reality, and allow this student to live in this illusion of being the opposite sex for fear of offending that student or their parents, who is also bought into that their son or daughter, this student, was the opposite gender, which is crazy to think about. It's crazy to think that these people were willing to allow this student to live in this illusion. And yet when I thought about it, despite my completely different outlook from these other teachers I was working with, the way I acted wasn't very far off. You know, I really was nervous. I really didn't want to offend anyone. And I was so nervous and not wanting to offend anyone that I wrote a script out, right? Like, that was something that I went out of my way to try to not say the wrong pronoun. And I think to myself, after this thing happened, I thought to myself, if someone point blank asked me to say the different pronoun for a person, would I? I'd like to think I wouldn't. But when it came down to this scenario of simply giving a report, I was just still so nervous. And so I brought this story up today because even though God got me through it, I made it through, I got to the other side, I thought back at the end and I was a little embarrassed about how I felt. I wished I was more confident in the things that I believe in and the strategy that I put forth. So when I went home and I talked to Ariana about what had happened that day, I thought about how throughout the entire Bible, so many people were willing to stand up for what they believed in. And not only stand up for what they believe in, but boldly proclaim what they believe in. Boldly proclaim the truth, regardless of who they might offend. A big example, and the first example that came to my mind, was in the book of Daniel. So if you want to turn there, book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Most of us know the story. Nebuchadnezzar, after having this vision, and Daniel interprets the vision, Nebuchadnezzar builds this statue, and he builds a statue of gold. And he says, at the sound of the harp and the timbrel, and he lists out all of these different instruments, and he says, at the sound of all these instruments, all these people are going to bow down and worship me. We'll read it. Daniel chapter 3, verse 14. It starts with this. Nebuchadnezzar spoke to them, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time that you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Imagine the scenario. you are brought before the king of the Babylonians, the people who just demolished your entire country, then took you and your people into slavery. And you are demanded to bow down before him and his statue, and you respectfully say to him, we have no need to answer you in this manner. If you throw us into the fire, God will deliver us. But even if God does not deliver us, we do not serve your gods, and we do not worship your statue. To me, that is one of the most powerful lines in any story of the Bible. Even if God doesn't save us from the earthly consequence, we will still not disobey him. Wow. What a shining example of boldness in the face of pressure. Not only just a little social pressure at our job, but pressure for their lives. And these three men stood so strong and spoke so boldly. And so as we read through these scriptures, and as we read through the Bible, we see this over and over again. You could think of Esther going before the king to advocate for her people. You could think of Peter and John going before the Sanhedrin, refusing to stop preaching the name of Jesus. And obviously, you could think of our ultimate example of Jesus Christ, who was never afraid to stand up for what he believed to be right, regardless of any societal pressures. There are so many examples to look at, but over and over throughout the entire Bible, we see examples of godly people being bold in their faith. And so, brethren, I wanted to go through the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because we live in a world where people are willing to compromise on their beliefs and values, often purely out of the fear of offending someone or fear of losing their job. But it's through the examples that God has given us, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that we should be fueled to stand up for what is right and to have confidence in the truth during those situations. It can be so easy to get caught up in the emotional side of things or to feel social pressures that we can start to compromise our lines that we have drawn in the sand. But in reality, God has given us specific guidelines to life. And in reality, we fall short all the time. And so when we see others who aren't interested in following these guidelines, we should absolutely have compassion on where they are and try to understand why they believe what they believe. But in doing that, we need to never try to reason away God's standards. Of course, we shouldn't be blunt and offensive on purpose. We should show compassion and speak with love in every situation and always try to avoid offending people. We should always aim to speak the truth in love, as Ephesians 4:15 says. But the difference is, it should never be at the cost of compromising on our beliefs. At some point, the truth, even spoken in the most loving and compassionate manner, could offend someone. But in this version of Babylon that we currently live in, we should be bold in standing up for the truth. We should be bold in never compromising our faith and our values. And we should do that without feeling ashamed of God's truth that we know and believe in. Because we do believe in the sanctity of life and God's design. We do believe that God wants us to keep the Sabbath and the holy days. I was talking to Ariana this morning as I wrap up. I was saying, when I took off the feast this year, I was like, I always feel like a little bit guilty. You know, I always feel like, man, I'm taking this time off. But I think we shouldn't feel that way. I think we should feel confident that this is what God wants us to do. This is what God wants me to do, and I shouldn't feel guilty for doing it. And so, brethren, we should stand firm in our beliefs, and we should use the amazing examples the Bible has provided us with to embolden us each and every day, embolden us to tell the truth and stand up for it, not rudely, not without compassion, but lovingly. But we should never allow our compassion towards others to help us and cause us to compromise on God's truth. And so, brethren, I encourage us to look at the example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to stand lovingly strong and bold for God's truth without compromise.